Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Golf Shake podcast. It's a little bit of a different one this week. You join both me and Matt, and we are actually together in the same room for the first time doing this. We are in the epicenter of Ryan Rastall Golf here at Howley Hall Golf Club in Leeds. We've just been hitting some shots inside in the performance center, having a little bit of a look around the shop. Matt, this is the first time you've been here, and last week we left you in the perils of the yips and kind of going down a bit of a black hole of putting. Tell us it's improved, and also tell us what you think of the shop here.
Well, firstly, let me just say the putting has improved, right? I'll come back to that because I feel like I've got a good update on the putting. But firstly, thanks for letting me come into Howley Hall today and have a little look around. It's I really enjoyed the drive in. If no one's been up here, it's worth coming in to check it out. Nice little road up to the golf club, and golf course looks really, really nice. And the shop's very well equipped with some of my favourite Puma Garms. Other brands are available. The performance centre up here is, it's nice, mate. It's cool, like a little bat cave.
It's cool. Definitely that. I spend a lot of my time here at the golf club. Don't really spend as much time in the shop as maybe I'd like to because it's just too busy. But it's great. I absolutely love it. I've spent loads of money, time, effort, blood, sweat and tears on making this place really good, and I'm glad you like it, mate, really. And the golf course is great. We're getting lots of great feedback at the minute. It's in really good condition. We've obviously had some amazing weather. It's probably in need of a bit of rain, like some golf courses are at the moment. It's getting a bit dry out there. We had divot night last night. For those of you that have never done that at your golf club, it's where a load of the really nice, kind members come together and go out and fill all the divots in on the fairways, and we did that. There was probably 50 people doing it last night. It was busy. Impressive. Yes, we got literally the entire golf course done in about an hour and 45 minutes.
I mean, that's great. I've actually done one, but we have, they call it a divoting party. It's the worst party I've ever been to. but they do. We do it in the morning. So we generally jump out in the morning and do it. I've done it once or twice where I can, but we definitely don't get 50 members turning up.
This is the most we've had for a while, there was members bringing their kids and grandkids up as well to help, and had a drink afterwards last night, and yeah, it was good. It was nice.
I do wonder if that's just the difference between like a morning and an evening.
Potentially.
Maybe more people would do it if it was an evening, but...
Yeah, you never know. But no, it's good. Other news, I've played golf twice in the last week, so two tournaments. One on Wednesday last week at Headingley Golf Club in North Leeds there, which was the PGA Pro Captain Qualifier. So myself and our captain, Jamie, some of you may have seen Jamie on some of the Golf Shake YouTube stuff we've done before. He was with me up in St. Andrews. Callaway sorted him out with a set of irons, which he absolutely loves and uses really well. And we had not a disappointing day. It was a very good day, to be honest. But it was basically the top pair qualified to play in the finals, which was in Italy. And we were top of the leaderboard pretty much all day until the second to last group came in and nudged us. So we came second. So we went from winning an all expenses paid trip to Italy to winning a PGA duffel bag, which was a little bit different. But good day. Great, great sort of time with Jamie, and obviously good to play Headingley as well, which I haven't played for a while. And they've made some changes there, which look really good. So yeah. And then the second time I played a pro-am on Friday up in the Lake District at a place called Carris Green. So some of you that were following the Trilby Tour last year will know that the Trilby Tour was at Carris last year, which was really good. Great course up there. Obviously, the Lake District is a beautiful part of Britain to go to. And what a day we had on Friday. It was just stunning, really nice and warm all day. The course was in great condition, the greens particularly. First time I'd played it, obviously being up there working for the Trilby Tour, I saw a few holes, but literally probably four or five holes. That was it. But getting to play all 18 was good. It's not the longest course in the world, but pretty tight off the tee. The rough was pretty severe if you did miss the fairways. And it was bouncy and hard. But good. Yeah, I mean, lovely day, great hospitality. The clubhouse there is mega. If none of you have ever been to Carris Green, you need to. Matt, you will have played a hell of a lot more golf than me, having that hangover from coming back from holiday and not playing for, 10 days you were away.
Yeah, so
talk to me.
So obviously, when we recorded the podcast on Tuesday last week, wasn't it? We recorded. I played the 36-hole comp on Monday when I had a severe case of the yips, and I know that I come onto the podcast and I was I was a lost man. I really was a lost man. And what I would say to start this is this game just drives me crazy and how unbelievably frustrating it can be. You wouldn't believe where I am now compared to where I was this time last week in terms of how confident I am with my putter. It is literally, it's night and day. You wouldn't believe. So I went out Friday morning last week. Didn't play particularly well tee to green, but there was definitely signs of improvement with the putter. And then it just got better as the weekend's gone on. So I shot a nice, I think I shot 7 over on Saturday morning. And then I shot, 8 or 9 over Sunday morning. So it's not quite where I want it to be in terms of score wise. But then last night I actually played a scratch knockout second round match. And we booked the tee time at 6:30. And a few people said, oh, you won't have time. You won't have time to get around. But I'll be honest, I was playing against the a guy who has been a scratch golfer. He's a county golfer. He's our club champion 4 or 5 times, I believe. He beat me in the final of a knockout last year quite comfortably. So I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting too much. And I absolutely putted the lights out. I was 4 up through 4.
Nice.
I knew at that point it was going to be, it wasn't going to be plain sailing from there because, you know, this is a guy that used to play off +1, +2, I believe. So he can, he birdied 2 or 3 holes. So it was a really, really good match. I'm annoyed that I gifted him 2 holes through lost balls, the 7th and the 8th, but I was still 1 up at the turn.
Sounds like Arsenal season, this.
Yeah, it was. It's very much like Arsenal season, to be fair. So then I won the 15th, so I was 1 up, playing 16. 17, I ended up with a double bogey. Again, it's another hole that I gifted him. And he won that. So we was all square going up the last. Our 18th's a par 3. He hit a really good shot to about 15 foot. I went in, I was on the right side of the green, hit a chip, which wasn't great, left myself about 12 foot. He missed his putt and I drained the putt, so we had to go back down the first. But at this point, I was just super happy with how I played. It was like, forget the result. Unfortunately, I did lose on the 19th. For those of you that follow me on Instagram, you would have seen that when we got to the first green again for the second time, it was about 9:15, and as we barked the balls, the sprinklers come on, got soaked.
Nice.
But yeah, he just made a really good, solid up and down on the 19th, and I didn't get up and down for a par, so he won on the 19th. But like I say, it's amazing. I think I would have had 28 putts.
Okay, that's pretty impressive.
Last night, and yeah, there were good putts hold. No free putts, a couple of 40, 50 foot 2 putts, which is where I'd really been struggling lately. And I think over the 3 rounds, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I think I've only free putted once. And that was when I blasted a birdie putt about 6 foot past and missed the one coming back. So I've only got myself to blame. And it's all down to a switch that I made to the claw grip.
Okay.
It's something that a fair few people reached out and said, have you tried it? And I had dabbled. I had hit a few putts with it, but I even said to Sam yesterday, I said, look, I can give you a list of people if you want references of how well I've been putting over the weekend. I was like, you can speak to this guy, you can speak to this guy, you can speak to this guy. It's incredible how comfortable and natural it feels and how much confidence I've got. And I'll be honest, all I want to do is play golf because I feel like the good score is coming again. And it's a really nice place to be. So, yeah, so I'm in a much better place today than what I was when we last spoke. And I'm looking forward. So I'm up here with my real job and I'm going to be staying just up the road at Alton Hall where I'm going to be playing 27 holes tomorrow morning before I head back. So I'm looking forward to that. Have you played there? Is it?
I used to work there.
Did
absolutely,
you?
Yeah. So that's the reason I first moved to Leeds initially. So yeah, I had a job at Alton Hall for about 5 years.
Okay.
I was there. So I'm actually doing some work there this weekend because they're relaunching their academy. So they've got Trackman Range that's gone in there. They've got Simon Dyson and Carly Booth going up on Sunday and I'm going to do something with them. I think they're doing hitting some shots on the range and I'm kind of chatting to them while they're doing it really for them. So,
nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting up there. But yeah, the course layout's great. It's probably not
maintained as well as you would like it to be, because it could be a really stunning golf course. And certainly when I first started there, it was. There was lots of investment. They spent about 20 million on the clubhouse and the spa, I think. So it was quite a decent amount of money went into it. The range had just been built, which has obviously just been redone again. So I'm looking forward to seeing that with all the TrackMan infrastructure there. And
would
stuff.
It have been a De Vere?
It was, yeah, when I first started there, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because I know it's obviously Q Hotels.
It's Q Hotels now. But yeah, it was with De Vere for quite a long time. Yeah. And then it was, the course was actually ran by Leeds City Council before De Vere took it over as well. So there's been a golf course there for a long, long time. And obviously three loops of nine, which you're going to play all of, aren't you, tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's got some absolutely great holes on it, it really has. Particularly on the sort of the last three holes of the eight, like 1 to 18, and then the 19 to 27 across the road, the sort of eighth hole of that, great par four, and a few holes before that are quite good as well. So I'm sure many of you will have visited there on a, you know, either a society package or a Sunday driver sort of package, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But for those of you that haven't, it's definitely worth a visit. It's a great facility to go to now with the TrackMan range and you know, a good golf course that, you know, if it's in good condition when you get there, it's a real treat. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, I know we played the Q Hotel Slaley Hall, didn't we?
Yeah,
I know you went as well, but I did it in the EuroPro Pro-Am, and I played at Forest Pines November last year.
Yeah, yeah. It's very good too.
Yeah, I'm super impressed with the ones that I have played so far. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out there tomorrow morning, and hopefully I'm going to get served up with some of this Yorkshire sunshine.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit overcast today. It was red hot yesterday, but yeah, a bit cloudy. But yeah, hopefully, mate, it'll be nice and warm for you. I'm sure you'll enjoy it regardless. But let's get on to our little roundup of what's gone on in golf over the past 7 days then. So, you know, we were looking ahead to all the tours, really. PGA, DP World, and also we spoke briefly about the LPGA as well. Let's start there. So Rose Zhang has won her first event on the LPGA Tour in her first start. How good is that?
Massive mic dropping.
Yeah.
You can imagine just like, you know, I mean, the nerves that you must feel naturally just taking that step up as a pro, and obviously she's, you know, a distinguished amateur career. So you know that all eyes are on you. You know that you know, the whole of golf and golf media and also, I think off the back of that, you know what golf media can be like. They're already talking, you know, talking her up like she's, you know, going to be an absolute superstar. And I feel like you just almost try to keep your feet on the ground a little bit. But what a way to announce yourself in the professional ranks.
In a playoff as well, you know, against Jennifer Kupcho, who's no mug at all. Very, very good, seasoned LPGA Tour player. And yeah, I mean, from winning the Augusta Women's Amateur and then NCAA, basically she's been the best player at college in America for probably what seems like the last 3 or 4 years, really. And then just to burst onto the LPGA and win an event, I mean, that is seriously, seriously impressive. And, you know, the likes of, you know, we've seen from the likes of Tiger over the years and things like that, when he's come won as many US amateurs as he did and junior amateurs, and then getting out on the PGA Tour and winning, you know, quite a clip, really, in sort of his first few seasons. It's kind of that's the sort of caliber you're in, isn't it, if you're doing these sorts of things. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure she's got an amazing future ahead of her, and I'm sure the next win won't be far away at all. So let's get to DP World Tour. So we had Tom McKibben win, first European Tour win for him, Northern Irishman, from the same place as Rory McIlroy, Hollywood, County Down. Did you watch much of this?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it on Sunday afternoon. Actually, I watched Saturday and Sunday afternoon. I watched a fair bit, and it was, for me, it was like the last few events on the European Tour. I just felt like every time I looked at the leaderboard, there was a different name on there. But he was super clutch, wasn't he, on the last. That shot he hit from just under the tree into the 18th there was just, you know, again, like massive.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke last week. The Porsche European Open has thrown up some first-time winners over the last few years, and like you say, it looked like it was going to do that all day, really, with the lead changing hands, and then you know, McKibben eventually winning by two shots, which is pretty impressive. But yeah, I think, you know, like I say, it's an event that surprises you every year with who's up there at the top. It looks a very difficult golf course, and you know, the scoring wasn't particularly low for the tournament. It just looks like that sort of place that plays quite long, and you've kind of got to grind out every single par and birdie that you make, and try not to make too many mistakes, really. And he obviously didn't. It was very, very good.
Super impressive.
So on the other side of the pond, we had Victor Hovland winning a playoff over Denny McCarthy. Did you watch much of this, Matt, as well?
Yeah, so I've got to confess, right? So I tweeted on Sunday night, because I watched the majority of the final round. And I'll be honest, I really enjoyed as a tournament. I really enjoyed it. I thought the course setup was tough but fair. And obviously that was reflected in the scores. But I was super impressed with Denny McCarthy on Sunday. He just looked like he wasn't going to drop a shot. He was.
I saw what you put on about him not making bogeys.
Honestly, I think he was playing maybe the 14th or 15th, and I genuinely thought, I looked at him and I thought, here's a guy. He's just got it under control. You know, he's not doing anything crazy. He's not doing anything spectacular. He's holding some clutch putts, and he just didn't look like it looked like a bogey was the last thing he was going to make. And even on kind of 16, 17, at that point, I'll be honest, I fell asleep. I fell asleep. But I had a long weekend. And I was in complete shock when I woke up the following day to find that Victor Hovland had won on the playoff. Really, really pleased with Victor Hovland, because he is, as we know, he's one of the nicest guys. So, you know, you're pleased that someone like him's won, but you have to feel for McCarthy a little bit to finally make a bogey on the 18th to end up losing on the playoff. It's going to be a tough one to take. But
yeah, it is, absolutely. You know, he played some great stuff, as you said, but Hovland looks like he's been knocking on the door for a couple of months, really. I mean, he looked good at the Masters, again at the PGA for a long time, and really pushed Brooks to the wire, really, I suppose. And it looked like a win was very close, and obviously he's done it now. And let's hope he hasn't peaked too soon with the US Open just around the corner. I know we'll probably talk more about the US Open next week when we chat about what's going on in the world of golf. But yeah, I mean, most of the players now are looking towards that. And when we look down the leaderboard, you see again Scottie Scheffler third place. The guy can't finish outside the top five, it looks like. Spieth, Siwoo Kim in fourth and fifth. These guys are, you know, a seasoned performers now, and ones that are knocking on the door all the time. It's good to see Spieth up there again. It looks like he's got over that little wrist problem that he had before the PGA, so who knows, US Open could be a good fit for him as well. But I mean, Scheffler just seems to play well every week, doesn't he?
Well, I saw the stats. So there's a couple of things we can talk about stats-wise, actually. Because the first one I'd seen was Scottie Scheffler. I think strokes gained, tee to green, off the tee, strokes gained approach around the green. He was leading the field, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then I think it was literally stone cold last in strokes gained putting, where Denny McCarthy was completely the other way around. And I think, you know, if you could have given Scottie Scheffler Denny McCarthy's putting that day, Scheffler probably would have won that by about 20 shots. It was just absolutely crazy. And then the other thing that was massively disappointing was Rory McIlroy again with a wedge in his hand. You know, I think there was seven or eight holes where he made bogey with a wedge in his hand, which obviously for a man of his ability, you know, I actually saw for the first time he was getting really frustrated with it on the golf course. A couple of times he kind of looked away, didn't he? And just really wasn't happy with what he was doing. But he wasn't even getting them close in a lot of with a lot of the shots. But
yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a frustrating element of his game over the past few years. I think he thought he'd sorted it, didn't he? Mm. Sort of going into the Open last year and was playing great. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what he does this week at the Canadian Open, because it's a place he's won the last two Canadian Opens. So you'd fancy him to go well again. But let's just hope it hasn't given him too many mental demons that he's able to get out there and perform again this week. And who knows, he might three-peat and win three Canadian Opens in a row. So, you know, that would be some finish for him. And who knows? But, I mean, we'll get on to... Well, to be honest, we can talk about it now, the Canadian Open, really. We've got that now coming up this week. Again, lots and lots of good players in the field, and it's an event that, you know, the last couple of years, Rory's obviously done very, very well in. I remember, I think it was the final round last year, Justin Rose went really low here as well. Did he shoot something like 60? Was he on for 59 or something, I think?
I remember.
But yeah, and the sort of form he's been in, start of this season, you wouldn't put it past him potentially winning the Canadian Open as well, particularly if he can, shoot 60 around there, particularly a few times. But yeah, I mean, we're also going to see Michael Block again this week. This is one of the events that he got an invite into, a sponsor's exemption, should I say. So be interesting to see how he gets on as well. And I'm sure there'll be some fanfare and furore around him. And so there should be.
Unfortunately, he didn't qualify for the US Open.
No, he didn't. No, it's a tough one for him, really. But I'm sure playing in the Canadian Open will be... Well, who knows? If he wins the Canadian Open, I'm pretty sure he's in.
Yeah, he probably will be.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a top three finish there. If other players aren't exempt, you might do. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's a long way down the road for him. But we'll see. I mean, it's obviously a golf course that suits Rory and the way he plays. And, you know, I wouldn't bet against him finishing up there this week. Definitely not. He's obviously playing well. He's just not quite scoring. And like you say, his wedge game maybe wasn't the best. But
he needs a day on the range, right? And that's...
Yeah, I think when you're at that level, I don't think you're ever really that far away. And I think most of the game is mental, isn't it? And I'm sure he's... strong enough and good enough now that he can get over a bad day at the office last week and put it right this week. So yeah, he'd be the person I'd pick to win this week, I think, in Canada. And having won the last twice there, I think you'd be stupid not to put an each way bet on him at least.
I'm going for a home victory from Corey Connors.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. I like the stories. That's it.
I'd like to see Rose finish up there as well. To be honest, I'd like to see him get close and get up the leaderboard.
Keeps on about Ricky Fowler as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, well...
He was floating around again, wasn't he, for 3 days. I think he just had a really bad finish.
Which looks like that was easy to do, really, on that golf course. It doesn't look like it was one that was particularly easy to score on and one that you can have a bit of a nightmare around if you hit it poorly off the tee and stuff. So yeah, we'll see. So, if we talk about the DP World Tour this week, then, Matt, so they're the Scandinavian Mixed... an event that obviously threw up the first female winner on the DP World Tour last year. And, I mean, who's to say that Lynn Grant won't do it again? I mean, the way that she played last year, and particularly under pressure, the way she started rattling off, was it like 4 or 5 birdies or something like that in the first 6 holes? To take a huge lead and obviously hang on, well, not hang on for the victory, but kind of cruise to victory in the end. I mean, it's an event that is obviously very different to week in, week out on the European Tour. It's at a new venue. We've got Alex Noren hosting this week as well. Have you got any thoughts on this one?
So I haven't got any thoughts on this one in regards to what we can experience, what we can expect this week. But what I do know is that it was an event that I really enjoyed last year. Just because it's different, you know, it's nice to see European Tour mixing things up like this. So yeah, you know, I'm excited, and you know, actually. Especially in the female side of the games, you know, Sweden do produce a lot of good golfers. So I wouldn't put past another lady getting a victory this week. In terms of a pick, somebody that has been floating around and someone that's showing good signs recently, I think maybe just starting to return to somewhere close to his best golf is Andy Sullivan. So I wouldn't. He's someone whose swing I can watch on repeat as well. He doesn't quite get it to parallel at the top. I don't know if you've ever looked at his swing in great detail.
Yeah, it's good. Nice and compact, isn't it?
Yeah, I do love it. He's a good guy as well. So yeah, we'd like to see him. We'd like to see him getting back to his best.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a very, very good player, and one that. He's overdue a win, I think, really, isn't he? Someone who, you know, he won quite a few times, didn't he? And sort of been quite quiet over the past couple of years. But yeah, he's definitely got the game to do that. Personally, I'm enjoying how Marcus has been playing the last few weeks. He's didn't have his best weekend, but I think he had a few bits and bobs go on off the golf course that kind of he was struggling with. So I'm sure he'll come back stronger this week. And who knows, he might contend. Dan Gavins is back out there as well after a week off. He was here during the week and doing some work on his swing and had been sort of not struggling, but kind of thought, you know, hitting some poor shots and didn't really know where they were coming from. So he was doing a bit of work on the range. I was having a good chat to him and I think he's found something there that you know, like we were saying with Rory, you know, you're off sometimes and you do a little bit of work on the range and try and put it right, don't you? And I think Dan was doing the same thing when I was talking to him a couple of days ago, and certainly the rest of his game looks great. Short game looks good. He was doing some putting up here as well while I was having a chat with him, and obviously looked very, very solid there. And I've spoken before about, you know, the way he puts, and, you know, I watch him and he grips it kind of left hand below right, but then as the left hand, you know, hugely sort of weak really underneath the grip, and it just looks to me like the most natural kind of putting grip you've ever seen. I've not actually tried it myself, but it just looks very, very easy. And the face is always square, and he generally puts very well. So I think if he can get it sorted off the tee, which is where he's been struggling, I think he could do well again. But yeah, I mean, we've got some great golf coming up, not least with the US Open next week, which I'm sure we're going to delve into in a bit more depth when we get to next week's podcast. But yeah, there's just tons of stuff coming up. What about you in the next week or so then, mate? What have you got, you know, in your golfing calendar?
So in my golfing calendar, so as we know, I've got 27 holes tomorrow morning out on hole. Crazily, I may also stop on the way home and play a round of golf with a mate of mine. So I might be playing 54 holes of golf tomorrow.
Why not, eh?
Why not? Then I'll probably try... Oh, I've got a pairs knockout four-ball, better-ball knockout match on Friday evening. I won't do anything over the weekend, but then going into next week, I've got another 36-hole scratch event, which I will be doing a lot of practice and a lot of preparing for. But I wanted to talk to you about this, right? So it's I can name the golf club because it's not you know, it's not a, not an issue. I'm playing at Albra, which is highly regarded in Suffolk as some people would say it's the best. Personally, I think it's in the top two or three, but there's one or two others that I prefer slightly more. But it's quite traditional. So it's you wear trousers, or if you want to wear socks, you have to, if you want to wear shorts, you have to wear long socks up to your knees.
What's the point? I'm throwing it out there, mate.
So I actually had a conversation with my wife yesterday, and she was like, "Do you know what? If that's the dress code, if that's what they're asking for, why don't you just put a pair of long socks on and just, you know, just roll with it?"
Because you're looking absolute knob.
Well, this is my fault. You know, for me, like, you know, I have to feel comfortable and, you know,
it's not a look I need anymore, to, that,
no,
mate, I'm sorry.
No, it's not. I need to, you know, I need to look good. I need to feel good. And then that hopefully will kind of, you know, express itself.
Make its way into
golf. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I think there is something in that. So, you know, so now I'm thinking, I mean, look, last year I played in this event and it was stifling hot. It was about 32, 33 degrees, and I actually wavered their long sock policy, which was good of them. I also think a lot of the people that enter don't, because it is an open, a lot of people that enter don't have long socks.
Good.
Yeah, good. So, you know, I know it's the same. Is it Royal St. George's?
Where probably, to be honest, there's courses in Yorkshire that I think Ganton is the same when you go up there. Okay. I think it's something that I spoke to someone who's on their board of directors before, and apparently it comes up every year as a talking point, and every year they decide to keep it. I just can't.
I mean, it will eventually fizzle out, but my argument is, so it says on their website, you know, it's quite specific. It says, you know, tailored shorts can be worn with socks up to the knees.
Please dress like a numpty. Yeah, but wear shorts.
Do you know what it doesn't say on the website? Is it doesn't say that I can't wear my Puma joggers, which I know you're not a massive fan of.
They're awful. But they're better than long socks and shorts.
But, you know, so basically what they're saying is I can't wear a pair of shorts unless I've got socks up to my knees. But I could turn up in joggers and a hoodie, because it says, it doesn't say on the website, you can't wear those.
No.
And look, I don't want to be facetious and kind of turn up to try and go out my way to ruffle feathers, because it is an event that I enjoy playing in. Tough golf course as well. Par 68, no par fives.
Right. Very good.
Just lots of 400 plus yard par fours.
I mean, I must admit, the pro-am I played in last week, which was at Carris Green, wasn't a PGA ran one. It was ran by the club themselves. Okay. So there was non-PGA pros playing in it. So the likes of Ben that works for me, who, you know, applies his trade on, well, it was Clutch Pro Tour this year, but you know, he's played Challenge Tour events and things like that in the past. He played, and you were allowed to wear shorts, and it was absolutely fine. And
Yeah, I always find that a bit weird when you're playing PGA events that you're not allowed to wear shorts. It's a bit strange. But, I mean, they don't have a long sock rule or anything. They just don't let you wear shorts, which I find crazy. But, yeah, like you say, it will change at some stage. The world will come to its senses and realise that we're in the year 2023 and not 1803. And yeah, shorts will be out there without silly long socks, looking like you're going out for a game of football.
Exactly. Well, this is what someone said. Someone said to me, actually, we just wear football socks then. I was like, well, do you know what? I suppose in theory, you know, that's exactly what they're asking for.
Well, they normally have to be white and those real thick, those cottony numbers, they're just awful.
Especially not when you've got a tan like this.
Shocking. Well, exactly, yeah. That's the whole reason you wear shorts in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, those of you out there that are potentially ones that are newer to the game as well will probably not know much about what the hell we're talking about, But yeah, there are some silly dress codes at different clubs around the country still. There are silly rules sometimes about having to wear a jacket and tie in a clubhouse after certain times of the day, which I also find a little bit bonkers. But hey, sometimes they're the rules. I guess you respect them and you have to adhere to them, but no one particularly likes them. But yeah, let us know. If you play at a golf club that has rules like that, let us know what you think of them. Are they fairly progressive in the way they think about things, or... are they, you know, very much this is how it's always been and this is how it's going to stay? It'd be good to hear from some of you guys as well.
It's worth pointing out this course right on the it's right on top of the main road, and on the other side of the road they've actually got like a 9-hole, I think it's called, like the river course.
Yeah.
And it's a mixture of, you know, par threes, par fours, but you can go in jeans, t-shirt, trainers, and you could go and play that golf course, and it's almost kept to the same standard as the main courses.
Fine.
So it's almost like a massive contrast between the two, which I find, you know, really, really interesting that it's almost like they're trying to entice people in that side to say, you know, yeah, come and play if you're just starting out, or, you know, if you're, you know, new to golf and you haven't got the right stuff, you know, come over and, you know, you can play on that side of the road, but just not this side of the road.
Well, that side of it's pretty awesome, I think.
So it's interesting that they're, you know, welcoming one side, and I don't know, it will change. I'm sure it will change. But what about you? What have you got coming up?
A few things. So we've already spoken about the event at Alton Hall on Sunday. So I'm going there. It's almost like a open weekend for the new Trackman range. So I'm going to do a few bits on Sunday. I'm going to take the kids and missus down as well. So I think they've got some bits on for children, not just golf, but like activities and all that kind of stuff down there as well. So, I mean, it's pretty handy for me. It's literally 500 yards from my house, so I can walk down there and...
You can have a beer.
I might do, you know.
Yeah, go on.
I don't know, but I'm working, so I might not. So, yeah, Tom, who does our filming for Golf Shake, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I'm meeting him there on Sunday. He's also coming down here on Thursday. We've got some more stuff to film. Loads of stuff, to be honest. We've got loads of new golf balls from Callaway that we've got to do a little bit of a review from. So some of the new Triple Track 360, as well as some of the other kind of printed and patterned golf balls that they've got for this season. So we're going to do a little bit of a rundown of those. We've got some clubs as well to have a bit of a look at. So we've got some stuff from Mizuno and Strixon to take a look at, plus all the usual bits and bobs we get sent in. We've actually got some spikes from Pride Sports as well to do a bit of a review and have a look at. Those of you might not care about what spikes you've got in your shoes, but they do make different ones for different reasons. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But then next week, just a normal busy week here in the shop. Not really got much golf in the diary next week, but then the week after, I've got a Pro-Am over in Wales at Holyhead Golf Club in North Wales, 2-dayer. So yeah, Thursday and Friday, which is normally a very, very good pro-am to be in, decent prize fund, and normally attracts some pretty good players. So I need to get my game in shape.
Nice. I was just checking my emails. I didn't get an email from Callaway about my golf balls.
Didn't you?
No, must be my junk.
What about Cobra and Puma? Do they? Oh, no, they don't make golf balls.
No, they don't.
No. What golf ball do you normally use, mate?
So I've got a Pro-V 1X at the moment. I took a good deal, but I've used the Callaway. You know, it's funny. I still find plain white golf balls where people have drawn their own Callaway triple track lines on.
The lines on.
Yeah, they've done it themselves. But yeah, I've used the triple track before. It's I like it. I like the alignment. I'm a line on my ball guy. I couldn't not have that. So
yeah, I mean, all the balls we've got to do a bit of a review and a test on have different forms of alignment. So we've got the
like the true path alignment that we've got on some of the golf balls. We've got the 360 triple track. And we've also got the new fade golf ball as well with the red and blue on the side of it that obviously as you hit it, the kind of colours fade into each other. It's going to be quite good that. And they've sent us a really nice practice ball bag with them all in as well. So we're going to get out there on the course and do a little bit of testing with those and see exactly how they go. I mean, I've always been a fan of the triple track golf ball and the 360 one is pretty cool, which I'm sure we'll put some pictures on social media that you can have a bit of a look at, but also on Callaway.com or CallawayGolf.com, you can go on there and have a bit of a look at that and see some of the new stuff. We've also been doing loads of shoe reviews lately as well. So we've been sent quite a lot of pairs of golf shoes, as you can probably see in the window behind us, Matt. We've got tons. So we've got shoes from Puma that we have not done a review of yet. We've done some Nike ones that should be out there fairly soon. We did some of the Quater Travis Matthews shoes while we were away at the Springs last week. So I played 9 holes in the spiked shoe and then 9 holes in the spikeless shoe. So did a bit of a comparison one against the other, and that will be coming out fairly soon as well. We've also done a review of Trihot 5K Putter Series from Odyssey. So there's loads of stuff coming to the YouTube channel over the next couple of weeks, really. One video that's had quite a few views and quite a few comments, I suppose, on is we did one on the Ram Tour wedges. Did you see that,
yes,
Matt?
Yes, I saw that.
Let me tell you, for those of you that have never tried them, you need to. They're really, really good. I was surprised. I thought they were going to be pretty average. Obviously, the Ram brand has kind of been, you know, not really at the forefront of golf in the last few years. But I remember, you know, when I was a young kid and first sort of playing around with golf clubs, Ram was still making really good stuff. They used to work with Tom Watson with their wedges and used to produce some fantastic wedges. And these ones kind of look very similar. They feel great. They're made of the same type of steel as a Titleist Vokey. So they feel quite similar. They're a really nice shape, a little bit more rounded, which I quite liked. But and they're not available in loads of different types of grinds and bounces like some of your kind of more mainstream and top-end brands like your TaylorMade's, Callaway's and Cleveland's of this world, and Vokey, obviously, which we've already spoken about, offer. But it was just a standard 52, 56, 60, and it's 3 wedges for £99. They're absolutely awesome.
Bargain. And they tell you that golf suits an expensive sport.
Yeah. I mean, performance-wise, I thought they were all... I would put them in the bag straight away. If I didn't already have 3 wedges that I absolutely love. They are very, very good. And for those of you out there who want some new wedges and don't want to break the bank, because, I mean, a new wedge now is, what, £160 for a lot of people? 3 for £100 is a very good value and you will not be disappointed. But you can check that video out on the Golf Shape YouTube channel, as well as all the other stuff we've been talking about. So the reviews of the shoes, golf balls, clubs, everything, clothing we've done some stuff on as well. You can check those out on the golfshake.com YouTube channel. But also keep your eyes peeled on our social media channels as well as mine and Matt's. So there's lots of stuff coming up on there. I've done quite a few bits recently where we were at the Spring. So on my Instagram, if you want to have a look on there as well. If you follow everything on Golfshake, Instagram, me and Matt as well, you'll see everything that we're talking about on the podcast as well as what's coming up. So, Matt, it looks like we've got another action-packed week ahead of us. We've got loads going on, and next week we're going to be looking ahead to the US Open. So hopefully you enjoy your time at Alton Hall in the next couple of days. We'll obviously hear all about it next week. But for now, thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you all very, very soon.